But I want to talk now to Tom McCarthy. And Tom McCarthy is a guy who's been everywhere in the movies, all over the place, frankly. He's been in movies like Little Fockers and The Lovely Bones and 2012. He's on The Wire, Scott Templeton, Michael Clayton, written, directed and everything else with lots of movies. He was even Michael the Robot of the recent Pixels movie. But right now he's the director and writer and the putter together of everything that's happened with Spotlight, which is the movie that's out this weekend, which is telling the story of the investigation by the Spotlight team in the Boston newspaper around, 15 years ago or thereabouts, which exposed all sorts of corruption and madness in the Catholic Church. So I met him during the week and I talked to him about it all and about the story and the whole thing. So we'll just dip in here and see what he has to say. This is Tom McCarthy, and the movie itself is called Spotlight.
There was so much story to tell here, just in terms of the investigation and the amount of information that we were sharing with our audience, that we didn't have a lot of real estate to really delve into the backstories and the personal lives of these reporters. And quite honestly, we didn't feel like it was important to the movie. The only time we did that, when we thought it was very relevant to a central theme within the picture. So when we go into Rachel's grandmother's house, she had a very close relationship with her grandmother, who was very Catholic and very connected to the church. And that's important to know that that particular reporter had that somewhere in the back of her mind when she was doing her work, that this story could very well crush the faith and hope in some sense of her grandmother. And that's a certain pressure that I think that they had to live with when telling this story.
And again, with those little bits, I mean, the needle mark in the arm for about 4 seconds less. What am I talking? 2 seconds.
Right.
That tells a whole story in itself in terms of the anger this guy has. But in particular, just to stay with Rachel McAdams, one of the people she talks to, there's two things about it. Number one is they talk as they go past the playground.
Right.
Was that important to you that it's so far in the background, a bunch of kids playing, but get the point?
I chose the location specifically for that reason.
Right.
Tried to pick a place in the neighborhood where Joe Crowley lived at that time. And, Joe talked about how nervous he was when he met Sasha, that he really just wanted to get out and walk, that he didn't want to sit in a small cafe and talk about this. And it felt like a good opportunity to kind of show just how pervasive, not only, the rest of the world is certainly in that situation, but the Catholic Church. There's a church right off there in the distance. And in Boston, you feel that, as you do in many of the cities in Ireland, right? When you drive around, it's on every corner. And there is a physical presence of the church in these neighborhoods, which can be incredibly supportive in some ways, but in this particular instance can be very oppressive and prevent people from coming forward and telling the truth, even when they think it's the right thing to do.
And that same person in the movie, Joe, who wants to go outside and away from the cafe, is inside the cafe at one stage, and this is a very important point, when Rachel McAdams says to him, and he says he's molested. And it's basically that if she's an investigative reporter, that's not enough.
Yeah.
You can't write a story and say you're molested. You need the detail. And you realise the detail is going to freak this guy out, but otherwise you can't have a story. Is that part of the process of showing what a good investigative journalist is?
I think, though, and that came directly from Sasha Pfeiffer.
Right.
Who talked a lot about this, that this was the drum she kept banging, that we need to be really specific in our language. We need people to understand really what's happening, that just to say molest or abuse, in a way, it generalizes it, right? It removes the specificity and the pain from the subject matter. And she didn't want her readers to have that opportunity. She wanted them to really engage and understand what a horrific crime this was. And so that's a perfect example of how we work that into the movie and how it resonated, I think, even with audiences. You're mentioning it, for instance. And that came from the specificity of their reporting, of their actions.
Also, to stay with Rachel McAdams' character again, Sasha, she calls to the door and does talk to a priest for about maybe, 20 seconds until the sister says, don't talk to her. And within that, should I feel in any way sorry for the guy who answers the door? What are you trying to do to me there in terms of, obviously, oh my God, he doesn't even know what he's doing,
I think more importantly, you're right. There's something about that scene that is almost confusing for audiences emotionally, because it's so tough to connect with what that gentleman is saying and how he's presenting. He's specifically talking about the abuse of boys as if it's no real issue. And I think that's how confounded the reporters were.
I never gratified myself, I think, is the actual language.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's in some way, he has somehow constructed a logic for his particular abuse. And that is something that these reporters had come into contact with on a number of occasions. There's a real disconnect with how these men were dealing with this, and in this case, explaining it. But I think an important element of that scene is that he was also the victim of abuse, the priest, and it speaks to the cyclical nature, the systemic nature of this crime, and how it needs to be literally rooted out from the Catholic Church. And I think this is something that the Church is very much dealing with today. This isn't a
sure, but does it also deal with some sort of justice, revenge, retribution, or whatever the word might be in this case? As in, maybe we shouldn't be talking about the law, as I would be talking about, because I'd be so outraged. Maybe we should be talking about some kind of rehabilitation.
Well, unfortunately, for pedophiles, I don't think there is rehabilitation.
Well, some kind of psychiatric assessment and help.
I think that's a wonderful idea, and a true and public one. I don't think it should be handled in-house anymore. I think this is the kind of thing that activists would push for. Like, yeah, this is an illness. It is a sickness that has to be dealt with. The Church has never really dealt with that in a proper fashion. I think they're starting to now because they're understanding the scope and depravity of it all. But unfortunately, back then, that was not the case.
Why does an organization that is probably one of the biggest organizations in the world in terms of child rape, a crime syndicate in the US, etc., what they have been right up to its very core, why is an organization like that allowed to still exist? I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. You have the Archbishop Law in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's the real Archbishop. Obviously, an actor plays him, but it's real. And he has this amazing meeting with Liev Schreiber, who is the new editor of the newspaper. And it's fantastic the way it's done, just the subtle, great institutions work together. And we're the newspaper, we should actually work alone kind of stuff, and all this kind of thing. Then he gives them this present, which he opens in the car, and it's the Catechism, like, just to show you where you're supposed to be.
True story,
Sonny.
By the way.
Yeah, I know. So, like, but my point is, when finally this archbishop in real life finds out that he's painted into a corner, he can't hide anymore, that all his marshals, all his troops, all his bishops, all his priests, that so many of them were either A, doing it, or hiding it, which is absolutely disgraceful, because that means by hiding it, you therefore just put it on to other people. And millions of people committed suicide and died and got buggered and got raped, etc., because of this guy's decisions.
Right.
What happens to him? He gets sent to some place in Rome where he can retire out his days.
Yeah.
Is there nothing, like, I mean, are you telling me that the Church might be noticed? I mean, it's a joke.
Agreed. Yeah, completely having spent 3 years immersed in this, understand the anger and frustration that goes with it. It is, if it wasn't a true story, it'd be almost unbelievable that this massive institution can continue to carry on and exist in this way. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of Catholics who feel like this is who are very committed to the Church, and that is a big number. This is a problem of the past. I think what obviously our movie's pointing out is, no, this is still happening. Law's a perfect example. You're right. He was put in a very cushy job in Rome. I think the fourth most powerful basilica in charge of in Rome at the time, and still lives a very comfortable life there. I think he's at Sofia now. It is a tough one to wrap your mind around. But as a man who comes from a Catholic family, my family, I'm not as committed to the Church anymore. My family still is. I think there are a lot of good Catholics out there who are very committed to their faith. I do think that the institution has real problems, and I do think it's had real problems for a very long time, and I think people are trying to sort that out as best they can. I think it's tough to say, hey, abandon the Church, abandon your faith if it's your true spiritual base. I think this is why this movie is so compelling. I think it's why I wanted to tell the story. There is no easy answer here. And to me, it's what makes it one of the great crises, and I don't mean just the abuse, I mean the entire Catholic Church of the century. I mean, it's a really spectacular story. You know, in talking with the reporters, I remember talking about Sasha, and someone asked her one time, you know, having interviewed hundreds of survivors, do you become numb to it? And she was like, no, I just became more and more angry. And it was my anger that I needed to control, because I knew she knew she had to, as a professional reporter, tell a story. But she said, you know, that's why she stopped visiting. She used to go to church with her Nana.
Yeah.
And she's like, I couldn't do it anymore, because I would just sit there and be so angry.
And that's in the movie, too.
Yeah, that's in the movie, too. And it's like, you know, these guys, Resendez was another one. I mean, here's a guy who was so excited to go after the Church. He saw it as the brass ring, a big story. At that point in his life, he had a big falling out with his family over the Catholic Church. As a young man, he lost faith in the Church and didn't agree with it. So he was very excited. But along the way, he felt particularly shattered by this story. And we allude to that in the film, too. And it's, you realize how how powerful that connection is to your spirituality. I liken it to the connection to your parents. Sometimes people say, wow, they have this horrible relationship with their mom or dad, but they keep going back. They can't disconnect. It's genetic. It's a part of who we are. And for many people, that is what the Catholic Church, that is what their faith is to them. So you could see them really wrestling this, even, and I mentioned, even survivors of abuse, you know, and that is when you realize just how heinous a crime this is. There's something we say in the movie, which I think is really important, that it's not just physical abuse, it's spiritual abuse. Not only do they do the this abuse on them, but then they rob them of the one mechanism they have to cope with evil.
Yeah.
Where does it leave people?
For spirituality, etc. Yeah. We know that an awful lot of very good people have joined the Catholic Church. We know that some of the best people in the world have been Catholic priests.
Right.
They joined the wrong organization.
Right.
Now, why isn't that organization disbanded? Could there be a spotlight too? Could there be a Boston newspaper who said, let's go and see what's happened now since? Like, why are we even allowing something like that to happen?
Well, let me say, if there was a spotlight too and that was the result, I would want to tell that story.
Yeah.
I think it would be a really fascinating story. I don't know. I don't know what the steps to be, what steps there would to actually, you know, realistically disband an institution like that. You know, you could say, why aren't more American banks disbanded after the financial crisis? That certainly didn't happen. It's really difficult to remove these powerful institutions. The best we can do is hold them accountable.
And isn't it astonishing that, like, none of them really, nobody really goes to jail? And the same with the current movie that's out about Wall Street and the house crash from 2008 direction, that, like, at the end it says, and they all went to jail. Ha, fooled you, they didn't go to jail.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a great line at the end. Like, none of these guys, and by the way, some of the guys in Wall Street who are back working, solving the problem by coming up with other kind of forms of way of saying things that we, the normal lay people, don't understand.
Yeah, I think
it's
that,
bizarre.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. And I think, look, specifically with the Catholic Church, I think that's what people are calling for, is like, okay, let's start dealing with the priests and the bishops and the cardinals like we would any other member of society. If they're found to be bad or complicit in any way, they go to jail just like any other civilian would. They don't get special treatment. And I think for too long, the Catholic Church has had special treatment, and they've certainly abused that.
The other thing, too, about the investigative journalist way of doing this, it's almost, I know that All the President's Men have been mentioned a lot in passing, but it's almost the 1970s approach, and yet this is this century, because it is 2001, 2002, etc. And it's kind of the old-fashioned way of literally, like, especially Mark Ruffalo, he's always opening a notebook to write it, etc., which is kind of, it just almost looks weird.
Right.
It's kind of, but, like, people say that, like, this kind of investigative journalism is gone, etc., and that. It hasn't gone.
No.
I mean, like, you know, if you look at Edward Snowden and some of the stuff that's been done there, or the kind of sex shame of Rotherham in Britain recently, or any of the kind of stuff in terms of doping in sport, or Sepp Blatter in football, although that took way too long, MPs' expenses in England, kind of Russians with what they do with all their money, that's still being exposed, even if it's online. It's just that this kind of dogged determinism by a bunch of people, we want that to continue, don't we?
We do, and I look, it's still happening, just in some ways to a lesser extent right now, right? The financing has certainly been greatly depleted. The institutional journalism's been greatly depleted in our country. So it's happening just far less often. And, you know, what's fascinating about this story, it's a local story. This was a local newspaper, right? And I think that's really important, because all the small local papers in our city are drying up, are either being shuttered or they're being greatly depleted. Someone said to me recently, and I think it's very apt, that, you know, it's a great time to be in local corruption. There's no one out there keeping an eye on things. And that's a terrifying fact. Yeah, there's more information online, but where is that information coming from? Who's vetting it? Are they professionals? I don't believe in citizen journalism. I don't believe in it. I think there's something interesting about it. It's additive at times. It can be incredibly harmful at times, but I want professionals doing this. I want people who are trained in it, who know what they're doing, who have the support of other like-minded professionals, and hopefully the support of an institution. I do think there's some benefit, some great benefit to that.
The story is the star of this movie, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's so incredibly compelling. And I think, you know, what we had to do is try to honor it and tell it as seamlessly as possible. And I think that's a very difficult thing to do. It's a very difficult thing not to comment on the story, not to editorialize, by stylizing it slightly, impact the story in a different way. It had to be almost seamless, our approach, and I really have to credit my entire creative team, my cinematographer, Massa, production designer Steve Carter, Wendy Chuck for these incredible wardrobe. It's so, she certainly should have been nominated for something because it's so tough to do when you have a period piece and you get to really go all into the period. That's something, this is a period, but it's 2001 and just how she handled these reporters and their look, it so adds to the world. It's just great, great work. It's hard work what they did.
Like they say that this shook the entire Catholic Church to its core. Did it really? I mean, did it really? Because, like, I mean, I expect a result from that. I don't think I'm getting a result. I'm getting all this. I mean, like, don't forget, at the time, they were able to rely on this thing called canon law, which is the funniest thing. It's like a joke.
Yeah.
So, like, did it really?
It's a good question. You know, I think, and it's a generational question. I mean, you tell me, but I would say Ireland's relationship with the Catholic Church has drastically changed. Has the church
changed? It's drastically changed. It still exists. Has the church changed?
No, but has the relationship changed? Absolutely. I think that is historic. And I think that will continue to evolve. Now, we'll see where that's going. But, you know, it's interesting. When I sat with my parents to tell them I was going to take on this project, that first discussion, it was a very interesting discussion, and they were of a different generation. But one thing I noticed, we started talking about the crisis, and I realized in that moment, I don't think they'd really ever had a long discussion about it. Mm. I think they acknowledged it and moved on.
Yeah.
They weren't going to change how they were living. They were raising their kids in the church. They weren't going to change that. But when I talked to my brother about it, that's something he wrestles with all the time. He wants his kids to have some sense of spirituality, but he really wrestles with the church. I talked to another one of my brothers about it, and he was at church recently with his three kids and said he just didn't like the way the priest was talking about social issues, and he just thought, you know, I almost walked out, middle of the church. He's like, how much more can they do? When are they going to stop trying to be political and just do what they do, which is focus on helping people and faith and not all these other issues?
Well, Spotlight's a fantastic movie, and thank you very much indeed.